Well, hello, I'm Karen, pastor of this church with Mark, alongside Mark, and I'm going to be speaking to us today on what it is to wait on God. And we're sort of starting a little mini series and we're looking at what it means to wait. And so as I start, I'm going to be reading off a website, a statement that I read and that I find myself both challenged and wooed by. And it goes like this: with many different voices, opposition and resounding noises, one true voice lives within and is our true north. You don't have to be overwhelmed and confused by waves, thunder or noise. You were designed to be connected to the heartbeat of God and feel confident that you hear his voice in every season. A moment or time in his presence can pull you above the circumstances of life, give you clear direction, and empower you to live by the word of God. He is a faithful shepherd who comes like a gentle whisper when all feels loud and out of sorts. Well, I don't know how you respond to that, but I certainly find a statement like that totally heartwarming and attractive, actually. But what does it mean to hear the whisper of God or from God? Not just in the midst of busyness or in the midst of the distractions of life, but in the quietness, perhaps, the quieter moments. Well, I believe that it means to stop and to wait and to listen, and to listen and to hear. To hear God speak and know that God is God of our life situation, our very specific and unique individual existence on this planet. To know that he cares, that we come to him, and that he cares about our lives in any given moment. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at stopping and waiting. I'm not good at it generally in life. I like to be in motion. I'm impatient. I don't like slow drivers. I get impatient in a supermarket with the person in front of me. I like to get a move on. I like to be purposeful. I like other people to know their purpose. I like being useful. I like being on the go. I like to be busy and productive, and on it goes. And so stopping and waiting for God or listening to him is a need that I know I have and that I personally need to feel in touch with and that we all have. And it's a privilege. And honestly, I don't know how I'd do life without it, but it is hard. And I wonder if that resonates with you. You might feel differently. Maybe it's easier for you. Hope it is. So what I want to look at today is, what does it mean to wait on God? How might we do it? And what might I hope for? So firstly, what does it mean to wait on God? Well, in that lovely verse in Lamentations 3, verse 24, it says, "The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him." And then it goes on to say, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." I think that waiting on God is an active pursuit of his presence and his perspective, direction and power in a situation. And I really think that this is what's been going on here, actually, at Encounter in this period of Awaken, which has been our recent series and our recent focus in the last month, not just personally or individually, but actually collectively. And there are moments in our lives, I guess, where we've had to make a choice to either rely on our own resources and our mental and physical strength, or even just the way that something might just turn out, or to intentionally wait on God for his word, his presence, and his revelation for the situation that we might find ourselves dealing with or part of. And that's what we've been feeling the Lord has been calling us to as a church. And God cares deeply about his church. He cares deeply about the body that makes up the church, and we are his body. When considering our need for connection and to be able to hear the voice of God, there are various scenarios or themes in life, aren't there, that might constitute our need, our awareness of our need and our pursuit of God's presence. And we might identify very strongly with David in the Psalms in various contexts. So here are some of them. Firstly, in the context of oppression. How many of us know what it is to feel oppressed or pushed down or heavy? And the psalmist in Psalm 27 would say, "Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." David in this context is feeling oppressed and got at, and he's needing God to help him. Or in the context of sin and sorrow and the desire for repentance. Well, another psalm also tells us to wait. Psalm 130, verse 5, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope." Sometimes there's nowhere else to turn, is there? In our need to put something right and to bring our sorrow and our human experience to God, we wait on him. Or in the midst of perhaps a deep longing and expectation of God, sometimes we just want more of him, don't we? More than we're experiencing. We're thirsty for him, we're thirsty for his presence, and we wait on him to satisfy us. And Psalm 42 speaks about this: "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." And in Isaiah, in the context of needing strength, and that familiar verse in Isaiah 40, verse 31, "They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings as eagles." Or in the context of knowing the way forward, wanting direction, which direction to take, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul, and he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And so we wait on God because we need him. And sometimes we choose to wait, and sometimes we're made to wait. We wait on him in order that we might know his strong, powerful presence in our lives. We're literally waiting for him to show up in our lives. Well, how do we wait? Brian Zand, in his book Water to Wine, which I recommend, talks about sitting with Jesus. He talks about sitting with Jesus, having welcomed his presence, lit a candle, perhaps, knelt in prayer, and in his case, he might use a psalm, even some liturgy or some worship, some music, and having offered his petition, sits quietly and alone, but not alone, because Jesus is in the room. He speaks very honestly of one particular encounter with Jesus as he sits with him in the quiet space of his room and shares how God takes him to a very specific memory, which he, God, wants to talk to him about, a memory that actually he needs to repent of and gain a new perspective over. By actively waiting on God, God is able to whisper to this man the truth. Quan from China sets an empty chair. He's asked his guards for it. He sets it in front of him as he sits on the floor of his prison cell. He breathes in the presence of Jesus as he waits. And he waits to find comfort and sustaining power. He needs it to continue living in the hellhole that he has been consigned to because of his faith. Some of this might resonate with you. You have taken time to sit and wait for God, and he's shown you something you needed to see and to learn. Perhaps you've gained new strength. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe it's part of your daily practice. I've experienced moments when God has shown me something about myself or someone or a situation because I've intentionally sat with him, something I've needed to see in a fresh way. I personally could not do life without these moments of connection and intimacy with God. And maybe that's true for you. So how do we wait? Well, we wait intentionally. Intentionally by putting God in his rightful place with our worship and our praise, praising him for all that he is, for his might and his power and his omnipotence. And we do this just to establish that Jesus is God and that we are not. And we might use a psalm or a set prayer or worship to do this, something that centres us. I often use worship, musical worship, and I would look at a passage from the Bible and then I would sit. Psalm 103 goes like this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." That's a good one to use. And in waiting, we may enter into what I might call contemplative prayer. And this is prayer that changes our perspective. Contemplation offers us a new way of looking at the world. And in order to see the world as God sees it, we need some contemplative breakthrough. And I love what Brian Zahn says when he says that as long as we remain imprisoned in the reactive world of dualistic thinking, which is an us versus them way of thinking, spiritual growth becomes impossible. He says contemplative prayer has the potential to be the most transformative practice in our life. Wow, who wouldn't want that? For some people, the idea of sitting and waiting is so hard. But there are ways of training ourselves to do it. Maybe sitting with a timer and starting with 5 minutes and gradually building up to 10 and then maybe half an hour. In these times, we might be surprised by what God shows us, even in a really short length of time. And I've been trying to practice this waiting on God more recently as I've become increasingly challenged in this awaken season to be more intentional. And it's perhaps one thing to become, to be aware, you know, perhaps very aware of our need for our connection with God, but it is another to be intentional in our pursuit of it. And it takes discipline and it takes time, but it does reap reward. And in the end, it's our loss when we don't give God that time. We miss out when we don't give God those moments. And when we're pretty high functioning people, as a lot of us are, we might forgive ourselves for getting on with life and taking control whenever we can, but we miss his empowering presence, his word on something, and ultimately the chance to magnify God more clearly in our lives when we don't give God these moments. And so what I might hope for, in these times, what is it that I am really hoping for? What might I hope for in this practice of waiting on God? Why is it worth it? Well, do you know, I think the biggest thing that God wants to give us is his peace. Peace in the midst of any oppression that we might be experiencing, peace and comfort in the midst of sorrow and repentance, peace as we wait in expectation and longing, peace in the strengthening that we need. But how does God bring peace? Well, I'm just going to concentrate as I wind down on three specific areas, and one of them is that area of perspective, and then direction and power. So I've talked about God bringing new perspective, but I believe that peace comes through a fresh perspective. What does Jesus say? He says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives." And it's different. It comes from waiting on him. We wait on Jesus for a fresh perspective on our life situation, his perspective. A peace-giving perspective which will look different to our natural response or reaction to something. In my counselling, I often talk to people about reframing something that has happened, something that they've brought. And it's one of the most valuable experiences in therapy when you experience a shift in perspective. Being able to see a situation from a different angle or a different point of view can help any of us feel so much better and uncover new ways to manage the problem or the situation. Honestly, I really believe that this is what God does. He's the great counsellor after all. He can help us when we wait on him. He shows us what we cannot see for ourselves. In C.S. Lewis's Narnia, you know that story of the children visiting Narnia. And Aslan, the lion, talks to the children about the deeper magic. And I'm just going to quote what he says here. "It means," said Aslan, "that though the witch knew the deep magic, there is a magic deeper still which she did not know. Her knowledge goes back only to the dawn of time." Here, Aslan, who, as we know, represents Jesus, is reframing the understanding of the power of God in contrast to the power of the witch. In the world of Narnia, there are lots of truths that Aslan is able to teach the children, and that is one of them. A picture for us of a different perspective. Secondly, God gives us direction when we wait on him. So that whole area of direction. So often we really don't know what to do or which way to go or what to choose. Actually, we have a lot of choice in our life now, don't we? I often think some of our choices are first world issues. They're first world choices. They're first world problems. And how often are we thrown by our choices? Well, how many biblical characters became heroes of faith because they got it, not because they got it right the first time round, but because they learned to wait on God and learned to hear his voice or for the right direction. So, you know, as we know, Abraham had to wait for a child. David had to wait to be king. Moses had to wait to rescue the Israelites and lead them out of Egypt. Hannah had to wait to have a child. Joseph waited in prison for release and for vindication. And even Jesus waited 30 years before his ministry began. And God always has a purpose in the waiting or in that sort of in-between time. And we may be taking quiet times or there might be significantly longer life decision moments. And sometimes, whether in the small or in the larger decision moments, we can find ourselves perplexed and confusing, and we don't know what to do. And sometimes we might have been disobedient to a whisper or a direction. And maybe God has had to patiently redirect us, just like these heroes of faith I've just mentioned. And sometimes there's more preparation needed than we might have realised before we're shown what to do. Often our best intentions get replaced by fear, don't they? And we stall, and we maybe do the wrong thing. And rather than taking our fear to God and waiting on God, we let this fear fuel our actions, leading us increasingly in the wrong direction. How often does God need to gently redirect us? And it's in our waiting that God is able to do that. And then thirdly, it's about God showing his power. If God has been able to show us new perspective and direction, we're going to need his power to live and move in it. And if you're anything like me, when I get an inkling of what God might be saying, my default might well be to rush into it and to make it happen. I'm very good at making things happen. How often have I tripped up, though, because I haven't waited? In my hurry to be productive for God, I might try and do things in my own strength. In Psalm 130, verse 8, the psalmist writes, "I wait on the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope." Apparently, this psalm may have been written by Hezekiah. But when he is saying this, he realises that he has to wait with his whole being. How challenging is that? Do I wait with my whole being? What does that even mean? I think it will mean different things to all of us, but ultimately, that the way that I think and I speak and I act should be reflecting the fact that I'm waiting on God rather than relying on myself. So I might ask myself, and all of you, all of us, am I posturing myself to receive all that God has for me, or am I rushing on? And I wonder what you might be waiting for at the moment. Maybe a good medical result, or a loved one to come back into your life, or back to God, or just to know the way forward over something. You have a choice to make. Is this the right life partner? Should I take this job? Should I take retirement? My hope in waiting is in God's word and in his character. That would be my longing for us all today. As we learn to wait on him, we need to be confident that we can trust God to act on our behalf in his power. It is as we wait and trust in him that he has the opportunity to reveal his promises and his power in our life. So shall we pray? So Lord, I simply want to pray that we would be people who learn to wait on you. That if it's something we're familiar with, Lord, that we would grow even more in this pursuit of you and your perspective and your direction and your power in our life. And if it's something that we're less familiar with, Lord, that we would learn how to do this, that we'd be patient with ourselves, and that we would be rewarded by what you reveal to us about ourselves and about the situations that we're in. And I want to pray for anybody today who is waiting and is longing and is needing God to reveal himself in any specific situation. I want to pray for comfort, and I want to pray for peace for you. God, I pray for all of us on this day that you would be very, very close to us, and that we would see you. I ask all these things in your name, God. Amen.